Welcome, everyone, to the AI in Business podcast. I'm Matthew DeMello, Senior Editor here at Emerge Technology Research. Today's guest is John Almazan, Head of AI and Emerging Technologies at TIAA. TIAA, or Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association of America College Retirement Equities Fund, is a U.S.-based insurance provider specializing in retirement services in areas like academia, research, healthcare, and government. Dr. Almazan joins Emerge CEO and Head of Research Daniel Fajella on today's podcast to discuss AI and insurance with a focus on governance, talent, and innovation. Together, they cover practical use cases in customer experience, fraud detection, and marketing throughout the episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Deloitte, and without further ado, here's their conversation.
So, John, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dan. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Glad to have you here. There's a lot to explore in this world of insurance, and you've spent time outside of this industry and inside of this industry. Before we get into use cases, I'd love to kind of fly in with you here on the trends and the challenges that are making AI a more relevant conversation in insurance today. We're certainly seeing a lot more interest in AI from this industry. What for you is driving that? What's making this a pressing conversation?
Absolutely. I was lucky to have the front seat over the last 15 to 20 years into the AI and cloud adoption. You know, I remember the days when we were building the data science models, and then shortly after we were looking into the cloud adoption, cloud migration, single cloud, hybrid, multi-cloud, and in the cloud, developing our first machine learning and deep learning solutions. And the same as we experience today, at that time, the companies and the leaders were looking to find new ways, new opportunities to redesign the way they engage with customers, the way they are growing the business, and of course, they build on better ROI. Now, when it comes to generative AI, I have noticed that leaders are increasingly recognizing the necessity of generative AI adoption in order to stay competitive, to leapfrog the competition, but also in order to enhance the customer experience. Many leaders are looking at generative AI specifically as a way to revolutionize various areas in their own domain. And obviously, this powerful technology can be applied in many areas, from risk management to fraud detection, and of course, customer engagement and how we actually communicate and present information to our customers. Unfortunately, as we know, with all this great power that generative AI offers us, a lot of challenges are also to be considered. Primary challenge is, of course, related to the governance, how the companies are going to ensure the quality of data and the readiness of the data to be consumed by these large language models. The models themselves have to have a proper governance when it comes to protecting the data privacy, protecting the information overall. And also when it comes to exposing the data, how do we ensure that these large language models, which are super creative, provide accurate, reliable, complete information without hallucination in our communication? Talent is another interesting topic for the leaders, and this is another aspect of different patterns, because talent, even though many leaders are seeing generative AI as a move from the need of data scientists, which is true, it also brings significantly other challenges. You no longer need only data scientists to build this large language models, but you rely on significantly more engineers, from data engineers to ML ops engineers to risk compliance, legal, and other groups of employees. They will have to partner with you in this journey and to ensure that the right controls are in place to provide an end-to-end experience that meets regulations or policies and so on. And last item, I think the last trend I'm seeing here, the thought leadership around continuous innovation. Certainly, having a culture of innovation is critical. And in the space of generative AI, this can happen. But how can it happen in the experimentation to happen in a safe and trustworthy environment? So those are, I think, the key trends that I'm seeing today. And each of them are equally important.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a lot of tension in almost every industry we're looking at here between the clearly demonstrable capabilities of this new wave of AI technology and being able to bound some of the hallucinations and bound some of what are the perceived potential downsides of the tech. So it sounds like very much the same in insurance at a high level. And as you had mentioned, the technology itself, AI or Gen AI, has a lot of ramifications on fraud and underwriting. You had talked about kind of the customer facing things. Historically, over the last 5 or 6 years, we've really seen a lot of the action and traction of AI knuckle down on basically underwriting and claims. You know, as much as 80% of, you know, the investment and kind of the action, we could say, just broadly in the enterprise, sort of in that space. But I know you had some examples to talk about outside of that when it comes to customer experience, when it comes to marketing. So I'd love to begin with kind of that front-end user experience side of things and really where you're seeing AI deliver value there. We'll walk through some use cases together.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, that's a great perspective and certainly an area where everyone is looking to gain more knowledge, but also to grow business. When it comes to generative AI, we all know it's a super powerful tool that enables to scan through large amounts of data, correlate data, and more importantly, summarize it in a very short time, extracting very detailed information from this unstructured, semi-structured, or structured data and exposing it in ways that are very easy to be consumed and then transfer from, let's say, a front-end client services representative to a client. And that really creates the power of better bonding with our clients, providing them with reliable and timely information, so less waiting time, making our clients happier. But also, when it comes to generative AI, the ability to look into the patterns, what other clients do, and the ability to create recommendations for our employees on the client services space, they can then use this information to customize and personalize the answer and provide even better information and more appealing information and useful information to our clients as well. So providing a hyper-personalized solution with the help of generative AI, it's super powerful and really helps us to stay closer to our clients' needs, to delight our clients. On the other hand, engaging with clients from communications perspective, as you mentioned earlier, on a marketing side, we have specialized marketing engineers that are generating content specific to different target audiences. We know that older and younger generation, they are looking for different kind of content, different kind of information. And the importance of using generative AI is critical. It can really create the text and the image and the picture that is so resonates so well with these generations and enabling them to understand for the older generation how they can plan for the retirement and when they retire, how to make the best use of their retirement. While for the younger generation, generative AI can generate content to enable them to understand the importance to start as early as possible to think about retirement, the importance of planning ahead of the time, and more importantly, engaging them in ways they want to be engaged as it meets their type of social media and other type of activities they do. Now, on the other side, when it comes to fraud detection, for example, or cybersecurity, we can use generative AI to generate synthetic data and be proactive in understanding how the bad actors can behave and how they can attack both the data and our experiences. And therefore, we can identify proactively anomalies and prevent these activities to happen both on our side as a company as well as for our clients. These are just a few of the examples that we can leverage, engaging with the client, reshaping, redesign the way we interact and engage with our clients through chatbots, directly or indirectly, but always under the human support and human validation, and also on protecting the company, protecting our clients, and protecting overall our business.
Yeah, and just to dive in on a couple of the points that you brought up here, there's a lot to potentially poke into. One of the things you mentioned is sort of on the marketing side. So, you know, if we're talking about retirement, getting people to understand the value of retirement is very different if they are, you know, 2 years away from retirement as opposed to if they're 20 years away from retirement. And I think what I hear you getting at, and I want to just sort of make sure I'm following, is the idea for marketing teams who might be running a digital or programmatic or other kinds of ads, or maybe even they're running advertisements and types of content on their own website, just to different users that have different profiles, being able to generate images, headlines, is it even other kinds of content, like articles on some level? I mean, what are the varieties of things? Of course, much of this is going to need human auditing if we're going to be publishing, you know, content about, you know, the price of insurance or other things like that. But give me a sense of, I guess, the range of what sort of marketing materials insurance leaders might expect to use Gen AI for.
I think that's a great question. And I would say that for now, since generative AI is in its initial phase and we are still learning both about the opportunities as well as the risks about using generative AI, we are always approaching this with caution. And therefore, use of a human in the loop and also continuous reinforcement learning with human feedback is critical. But when it comes to the content, the way you explained, you know, generative AI has no limitations when it comes to the type of products we can build. Anything from, for example, social media posts from Twitter to Facebook to everything, it's more customized to specific events, you know, in different client locations. You know, if you are going to address to students and how they can actually interact with us, for example, in a hackathon event where we are going to challenge these individuals to partner in a technology competition. We also want to educate them through the same process, not just to engage them from achieving certain products or services through their minds and to their technical abilities and business abilities to create solutions for a better retirement, but also we want them to be prepared in understanding the importance of preparing for the time, even though they might have another 20, 30 years or maybe more until they retire. Now, it's an exactly different story if you are going and meeting with the employees that, as you mentioned, they are maybe getting ready to retire in 5-10 years. Then you have to propose different solutions when it comes to product solutions and as well as to expose what others are doing in order to be excited about retirement, as this is a very important phase in everybody's life. You know, we want to make sure that we work hard, but once we retire, we are going to be prepared to enjoy a long and healthy and joyful retirement. So again, the message from marketing perspective could be designed with all the audience in mind, and it could be anything from a poster to a banner to a social media post to everything that you can imagine.
Yeah, I think, well, we're not quite at photorealistic, you know, image or video, but we're definitely not far from it. I can definitely see a world where, you know, we have a certain article about the benefits of retirement for, you know, preparing for retirement for millennials, for example, and I can see a way to train an algorithm on, you know, what has gotten the most post engagement, what has gotten the most read-through rate, or whatever metric we're tracking, maybe it's conversion rate, from populations in Chicago versus populations in LA versus, you know, millennial women versus men, whatever the case may be.
Absolutely,
we might be able to look at what do they respond to in general, social, article, image, etc., and say, okay, for that audience, let's make sure we write about those things. You know, maybe for some groups, they really care more about, you know, how retirement fits into the expense of raising a family, and then for other groups, they care more about travel and freedom, and, you know, being able to take a similar piece of content and create 20 permutations based on what has historically performed well for different audience segments. Is this the right sort of idea that you're talking about here?
Absolutely. And now you brought up also another topic related to how AI, and specifically generative AI, through chatbots and through virtual assistants, can really create that kind of connectivity, connection, as well as exposing immediately information that clients are looking into it. For example, we just developed at TIA our metaverse, our Tiaverse, which is, I would say, the easiest way to interact with the younger generations. They want to become closer to this topic by leveraging, I would say, virtual environments, virtual assistants that can actually use through gamification, the use of generative AI to generate scenarios, to generate synthetic data that enables better engagement, but also to provide to generative AI appropriate content as well as conversations to maintain the focus of the audience. You know that the younger generation have a very short span of focus, and we want to use the generative AI to make them as focused as possible.
Yes, as a millennial, we certainly have our faults, that's for sure. And I'm sure the generations younger than me goodness gracious knows what kind of content is going to grab their attention. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was an algorithm that helped to capture it, because I'll tell you right now, John, it is definitely algorithms that are capturing their attention already. So
absolutely.
That's the world that they live in off the get-go. So that becomes more compelling. And I wanted to touch on at least one of those three examples. You gave us kind of customer experience, marketing, and then the fraud side. I don't think we've heard very much at all about marketing and insurance, but I think what you've just brought up here today is a nice painted picture for where insurance leaders might imagine the future of their own industry. With that said, there's a lot to get into here about bringing this change to life. Like you said, there's anticipation around the power of Gen AI, a little bit of pressure to adopt it. There's also some anxiety around some of its downsides, but there's oh so many use cases. Many of the listeners in our audience who are in the insurance space or financial services broadly, they might be VP, head of, director level folks. Mm-hmm. Their company is sort of beginning its journey towards AI adoption. When you think about what a good foundation is for setting yourself up for success to really see some ROI with those early projects, what would be the things that leaders should know, John?
I think that's a great question. And there is a lot of excitement because generative AI, it is a very powerful tool, but it is not easy. And certainly it takes a lot of effort to make it real. And that's why if we look at the big players in the technology side, the first thing they have done is to build responsible AI policies. And this is different. It's a shift from the traditional, if you look at the financial industry, where each company is leveraging the traditional AI standards, SOPs and controls within other policies like data governance, IT risk, privacy, and so on, which, again, those are great solutions. But in the age of generative AI, they are becoming more and more difficult to maintain and also to bring them closer to the subject matter experts, which are the AI specialists. That's why these large companies like Google and Microsoft, they all developed responsible policies to be referencing the other policies, but keeping the core with the AI specialist. That's, I think, the most important thing to do first, because the responsible AI policy is going to enable them to understand from a business perspective what is AI, what is not AI. And though also in the AI space, what is traditional AI, which has more well-defined solutions, and what is generative AI, which is in a very green space, very undefined, and requires significantly more effort. Now, once this policy, responsible AI policy, is in place, it's really going to help them shape the strategy on how they can develop. And of course, I would recommend to start very small. I would recommend to start with projects that, again, are going to be the result of a brainstorming ideation session with all the leaders in all the departments to understand the power of this technology, the art of possible, but also very important to define what could be a low-hanging fruit, meaning something that can be delivered quickly with the biggest impact on the return on investment. Everyone on the leadership side wants to see results, and they want to see the product in the hands of their users. And in order to do that, of course, you have to have the foundation in place to provide you the guardrails and to provide you the principles on how you're going to deliver, and under, I would say, the orchestration of everyone in the company, from legal, compliance, risk, audit, cyber, cloud team. But they all have to work together towards a common goal, delivering a reliable generative AI product that can bring power to associates, to the employees, and drive return on investment. So I think that's the first thing, foundational policy, and then how you strategize with all of the players in this domain to make sure that you are doing it in a nimble way, but also wisely, with the lowest risk for the company, with mitigation controls in place, and making sure that the ROI, it is in a very short time frame achieved.
Yeah, well, I want to touch on that really quickly with you here, thinking about getting these stakeholders in the room. You know, it's said many times here on the show, AI is a team sport. Being able to get started really is going to involve buy-in from the top, alignment between our data scientists, and an agreement that this is a priority and that we should assess our situation, et cetera. Yeah. You've seen many clients make their way through some of this beginning journey over the years. And you've observed some do it better than others. Generally speaking, For the companies that do this well, in other words, they actually do get leadership to build at least a bit of a shared vision. They do get a kind of line of sight of success and a shared grounding of where this tech can take us and how it would have strategic value so that we can have these projects that have strategic value but also have near-term ROI. When you see that happen well, what are the things in common? Because I think many folks on the who are tuned in, they're going to be aware that that is what they want, mm-hmm. but they're not going to know what are the success factors necessarily to bring that situation about. Give me a sense of kind of what you've learned there and what advice might be useful for them.
I think that's critical for every company to start with a top-down awareness, education, and making sure that the leadership team, it is well informed about the art of possible, but also about the risks associated with this powerful capability. Creating that kind of education are going to create trust, is going to create connection, and is going to create the desire and the appetite for the leaders to accept a certain risk as well as to get him financially supportive of such initiatives. So education, awareness, top down. Now, obviously, when we are dealing with such technologies like generative AI, it also requires a cultural change. It requires the ability of the leadership to think on the short term, to show some proof of concepts that become dematerialized in return investments. But in the long term, what does it mean from a company overall to prepare the talent, the employees for the future disruptions that these technologies bring and help them understand how they can reshape the way they do business with the help of these technologies? So it's a very delicate environment where the leadership, business leaders, work closely with technology leaders and the AI specialists, the AI leaders like myself. We need to ensure a full transparency and as well as defined journey, because the more information, the more we show the reliance on the other stakeholders, the more trust you're gaining and the more support you have both financially as well as for delivering employees.
Yeah, so I think this is a great take home, this idea that for the folks, you know, who are building that AI roadmap themselves, the more buy-in they get in the process and the more they can demonstrate that buy-in in the prioritization, in the project itself, in the intended user, whatever, and then communicate that, that's going to, let's call it, grease the skids of adoption, so to speak, and make this something that people actually want to be part of, as opposed to, you know, resist as a kind of an outside imposed change. You are absolutely right. It is a delicate balance, but I think that that last lesson should be one that's applicable to essentially any enterprise, no matter what industry our listeners are tuning in from. And John, I know that's all we have for time, but I sincerely appreciate you being able to break down some of your insights here and to share some of your ideas about what leaders can do to adopt AI. So thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. And I'm very happy to be here with you today. And thank you for the opportunity.
Wrapping up today's episode, a few points that I think deserve a bit more spotlight for our executive podcast audience include that from the start of the episode, Dr. Almazan noted that leaders are recognizing the need for guaranteed AI adoption to stay competitive and enhance customer experiences. Leaders must address challenges in governance, talent, and innovation to successfully implement generative AI. Because of generative AI's ability to quickly summarize and extract valuable information from large data sets, John said he believes that the impact of Gen AI on customer experience workflows will be consequential. In terms of fraud detection and cybersecurity, generative AI can generate synthetic data for these workflows, which is effective for proactively identifying anomalies. Insurance leaders may use generative AI for marketing materials, but John tells our audience that human auditing and feedback are crucial for those systems to be successful. Dr. Almazan also shared his vision for using AI to personalize content for different audience segments based on their interests and engagement. Algorithms are already capturing younger generations' attention spans, and insurance leaders should consider AI adoption for future industry success. On behalf of Daniel Figella, our CEO and head of research, as well as the rest of the team here at Emerge Technology Research, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time on the AI in Business Podcast.